Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro-broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's Thoroughly Confusing Thursday, which I should have seen that one coming. It is also the 25th day of May, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029, and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 60 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 69 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And so it's kind of a little cooling in the air. It's a low meeting a high. I mean, we're supposed to be under a high, but it's a low because I looked at my barometer and it says it's low. And there's a little bit of a cool breeze, but nothing to complain about here. That being said, let's look and see what we're going to jump into here. State Department redacts big chunk of $22.8 million contract to resettle Muslim refugees. And we're going to get into that as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. Yeah!
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, State Department redacts big chunks of $22.8 million contract to resettle Muslim refugees. This is from Judicial Watch. It was sent in by Misty for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. And I haven't read this article yet. I'd read the articles, and but I catched the site up, the comment section and all the emails and stuff before I come upstairs, and Katie had made a comment that she predicted this would be the one I would open with, and she said I was going to be irate, so I figured there must be something disturbing in there that I want to read, so I thought, what the hey, we won't disappoint Katie today. The U.S. government spends billions of dollars to resettle foreign nationals, and transparency on how the money is spent depends on the agencies involved. Judicial Watch has been investigating it for years, specifically the huge amount of taxpayer dollars that go to, quote, voluntary agencies, known as VOLAGs, V-O-L-A-G-S. To provide a wide range of services for the new arrivals. Throughout the ongoing probe, Judicial Watch has found a striking difference on how government lawyers use an exemption, officially known as the B, it's Section B, Section 4, to the Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, to withhold records. All the cases involve public funds being used to resettle foreigners on U.S. soil, and Americans should be entitled to the records. Why? Oh, you think you got some kind of open insurgency? I mean, open occupation here? This is a secret government within a secret government. Shh. The Section B, Section 4 exemption permits agencies to withhold trade secrets and commercial or financial information obtained from a person which is privileged or confidential. Depending on the government agency and the mood of the taxpayer-funded lawyers handling public records requests, that information is exempt from disclosure. In these cases, the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, disclosed a VOLAG contract to resettle tens of thousands of unaccompanied alien children that entered the United States through Mexico under the Obama administration, while the State Department withheld large portions of a one-year $22.8 million deal to resettle refugees from Muslim countries. Most of the UACs, I guess that's UACs, UACs, came, oh, that's unaccompanied children, that's it, came from El Salvador, MS-13, Honduras, MS-13, and Guatemala, MS-13, and Obama administration blamed the sudden surge on violence in the three Central Asian nations. Well, you just shipped it down here. That should take care of their problem. The agencies responsible for resettling the minors and issuing the contracts for the costly services in HHS. Ooh, that's that contract word again. I know something evil's afoot. As a result of Judicial Watch's work, HHS furnished records with virtually nothing redacted. Disclosed were employees' salaries of VOLAGs contracted by the agency to provide services for illegal immigrant minors, the cost of laptops, big screen TVs, food, pregnancy tests, multicultural crayons, and shower stalls for the new arrivals. Well, you know, I bet you those American nationals, you know, the people who worked 20, 30, 40 years of their lives before everything was taken from them, those people living out in those tent cities, man, couldn't they use some of this shit? And you know, it is theirs. This is a frickin' outrage. Multicultural crayons, people. Well, they got to be multiple gendered crayons too, don't they? And shower stalls for the new arrivals. The general contract was to provide, quote, basic shelter care. It's a, well, like, we should go talk to those American nationals out in those tent cities and see if they're getting, what is it, basic shelter care. It seems they own the country. For 2,400 minors for a period of 4 months in 2014, this cost American taxpayers an astounding $182,129,786, and the VOLAG contracted to do it was government regular called Baptist Children and Family Services. Oh, here's the dirty church. The dirty church is in on it. The dirty church is getting the grants. The dirty church is facilitating invasion into our country. Why am I not surprised? The breakdown includes charges of $104 million $215,608 for UACs, that's unaccompanied children, at Fort Sills, Oklahoma, and an additional $77,914,178 for UACs at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas. So we had 2,400 minors in, Jesus Christ Almighty, people. Can we do this math? I mean, yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if you heard on RT last night, they were talking about Trump's budget. You know, he's got the money in there for the wall.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Well, but you know, that's what's going to be negotiated. That's the proposal.
Yeah, the proposal is just for 32 miles, and it's going to cost $24 million per mile.
The bottom line is you know, there's no necessity for a wall. I mean, if these people were, the people who harbored these invaders were put in jail or put up against the goddamn wall. If the people coming across the border, illegally, these people coming into our country, these invaders, were unable to get substance here, they'd have to turn around. They wouldn't come here. It is because of the corrupt system that feeds it. And a goddamn wall ain't going to stop. I mean, that's shutting the barn door after the horse got out, isn't it? They're all here. We got a replacement population, a recolonization force already in place here. Let's build a frickin' wall around it. No, let's run every, I mean, remember that was old Trump, he said, yeah. He was gonna get them all out of here and then build the wall. Now that would make sense. But, so far he's gone along with DACA, what was declared unconstitutional, even by their frivolous rules, their unauthority said that they couldn't do it, that, you know, there was no provision in the Constitution for them to be giving our country away to foreigners. But hell, here it is, people. They are here, and I mean, you think about 2,400 minors for a period of 4 months in 2014. You got 182 and then $77 million. How many per child does that come out to, people? When we talked yesterday about these contractors and the fact that 95 cents of every dollar is ate up in administration. These are the contractors. These are the middlemen. These are the parasitic Jews sitting in the middle, taking all the wealth. And from one side, they take it from us at gunpoint, and then they fill their pockets and they throw a nickel over at the invading forces to finance the further destruction of our country and the further destruction of we as a people. I mean, we read this shit. Where's Trumpy on this one? Surely somebody's going to go down there and shut this shit down, right? I mean, you know, they're talking about cutting food stamps and Medicaid for old people and for, you know, poor Americans, because I guarantee you these son of a bitches will be getting five amounts. Look at this, what we're talking about here. At the same time that their 2,400 minors are getting 100. This is in a 4 month period. Jeez, people, come on. I mean, wouldn't this cry out crime? Wouldn't this cry out fraud? I mean, they're listening to our phone calls, looking through our windows, hell, looking through our walls, looking through our, I was reading something just a while ago, through our mobile Wi-Fi, or our Wi-Fi systems, looking into our house, taking pictures, looking at us, trying to find us doing some any little, or, you know, road checks on the side of the road. You got that goddamn seatbelt on? Here is blatant crime. That it has to be crime. And otherwise, you're going to tell me that 182, I can't even do this math right now. 182, what it said up at the top, it was a big amount. What the hell was it? Let's see, 22.8 million, and that don't even touch this. This is 182 million. It's 182,129,914, and this went to 22,400 minors over a period of 4 months. My God, people, you could have put them all up. I mean, forget about the people, our own people, the American nationals going hungry and being cold out in the cold in tent cities across this nation. Just forget about that. You could have put these kids up in the goddamn Hilton Hotel and saved money. You wouldn't have come close to this amount. What in the heck? I guess we're going to look in here and see if they're talking about where all this goddamn money went. HHS rightfully provided all sorts of detail in the records, including the cost of emergency surge beds, this cannot be right. That cannot be right. This has to be billions, or there's something wrong with these figures in this article. Because this is not, we got a figure up here of a 1 year of $22.8 million to resettle, and we're talking down here hundreds of millions, if these are correct, because I'm seeing two commas. This cannot be right. If it is, this is insane. HHS rightfully provided all sorts of details in the records, including the cost of emergency surge beds. $104 million is what I'm reading here. I'm seeing nine digits, $104,215,608 for just 4 months. Food for illegal alien miners staff, $18,198,000. Medical supplies such as this has to be $22.8 billion, and they put a million up at the top. That's the only way this could come out correct. Let's see here. Illegal alien miners and staff, $18,198,000. Medical supplies such as first aid kits, latex gloves, lice shampoo, and pregnancy tests, $1 million. We're talking about 2,400 miners here, people. $1 million worth of pregnancy tests, $121,400. Recreation items such as board games, soccer balls, and jump ropes, $180,000. Educational items. And remember, these are American, the children of American National are right now going cold. They do not have frickin' heat. Living in tents. The people who paid into this goddamn system for 20 or 30 or 40 years are living like goddamn dogs. And, well, we talked about, you know, the theft of our resources, the theft of our nation yesterday. Now it's not even going to be pretendedly spent on us. They're coming right out and go, man, we're going to bring every goddamn third world son of a bitch we can in here. We're going to, well, they're not pouring wealth on them because, I mean, this right here should scream investigation. This has to be racketeering, doesn't it? I mean, just any common person, just common sense, horse sense. Educational items like art paper and multicultural crayons, $180,000. That cannot be right, but it's what it says. Laptops, $200,000. And cell phones, $160,000. Hotel accommodations for the BCFS staff was $6,765,000. The records show, and the salary for a 30-member incident management team was $2,648,800, which breaks down to $88,293 per IMT member for the four-month period. So they made $88,000 for 4 months of work, man. My God, people. It was outrageous that the Obama administration spent nearly $200 million of taxpayer funds to provide illegal alien children with types of extravagant high-tech equipment and lavish benefits. Many American Now, see, they're saying $200 million up here, but somebody don't know how to write. That's all I can figure. These should be hundreds of thousands instead hundreds of millions. That's all I can figure, people. But still, 200, I don't give a shit. This is like outrage? Extravagant? Well, hell, when you're giving them $250 a day just to poke in their pocket, I guess it ain't so outrageous to believe this shit. Equipment and lavish benefits many American families cannot even afford for their own children. I mean, I was listening, I think it was that shit dog Tucker Carlson yesterday. He was, you know, talking about that the majority of the people in the United States cannot come up with $400 in an emergency. That's how goddamn poor our people are. And what's it gonna take, Pete? Oh, I don't know. Maybe it'll take like the Russians. Maybe you'll have to really fucking starve before you'll stand up and grow a spine. Who knows? This has become a heated issue, really, for the government, which may explain why other agencies aren't as forthcoming in providing specific figures. Well, my goodness, why would they be? Thus, abusing the Section B, Section 4, exemption. The State Department, for instance, redacted huge portions of records involving contracts, oh, there it is, contracts, with Volags to resettle refugees from mostly Muslim countries. The files illustrated the desperate reduction treatment given by different government agencies to the same types of records. The State Department paid a Volag called United States Conference of Catholic Bishops a ghastly $22,838,173 in 1 year to resettle refugees that came mostly from Muslim countries. This is what we're talking about. This is why, you know, Trump's dropped the religious. You're going to still be a 501c3 corporation with tax exemption, but you're also going to be able to back the candidate that'll pump the goddamn grants to you to pay for the invasion, so you can bring more of this third world labor force in here to displace the Americans and give slave labor to Trump and company. That's what it breaks down to here. God damn it. If you and I harbored a fugitive, well, why go into it? A ghastly, huh? Mostly from Muslim countries. Unlike HHS, the agency's redacted information related to what the USCCB charged the government for things like furniture, personal equipment, and other costs associated with contracts to resettle refugees. That's what I've been telling you people. This is how you're stealing you out of your country is through contractors. Yeah, everybody wants a government contract. You see, we talked yesterday about the fact that they take all your resources, all the wealth from your resources, and the idea being that they're taking care of you, and they're going to spend it on things that are good for you, man. This is how they got this socialism rolling, and everybody, they just love getting things spent on, money spent on them. But then you turned over all your decisions. I mean, think if you were just getting the money. You could decide what you need and what, you know, as a person, as an individual. As an individual, you're being robbed. They're taking your goddamn money. They're taking your goddamn wealth. They're taking your resources. Go ahead.
I mean, how would the Congress get reelected if they didn't have the contract?
Who pays? I mean, every one of them's in somebody's pocket. You look at that little bitch, Paul Ryan. You talk about a corporate lapdog that just shines of it. That's one fellow right there. But you're right. Every one of them is owned. That's what it is. You know, here where I live, that damn Gerald Went Corporation. I mean, they were, got cut off on a project they were doing. And I mean, he boasted in the paper. He was going up to Salem to buy a politician, to put him in his pocket. This is supposed to be the representation of the people. So you wonder why we're being robbed blind? Well, there you go. And you know, there's no repercussions for them. I mean, as long as they're stealing within the corrupt system they put together, well, no, that was just some grants that somebody got. Oh, ghastly, and everybody's upset and everything, extravagant, giving all this money. Oh, but it's all very legal, just like the extermination of the Russian Christians was very legal. You let them take... Go ahead.
You're saying that they have consent of 25% of the voters. Mm-hmm. It's not true. They only got consent of less than 3% because of the primary system that it's so controlled. And even the 3%, it's a private election. They can make it come out however they want.
Goddamn right. Well, you know, I've used it. I think it's 6%. Because, I mean, I think the original polling they were doing in the primaries, when they, this was with even their registered idiots, the people who would go along with this. And I think that with the people who would go along with this, they got about 6%, man. And they're doing this.
Yeah, but it don't make a difference how you vote. They're going to make it come out how they want.
Well, of course they are. But I'm just,
it's perfectly legal. It's not illegal what they're doing.
Oh, but it is. It is illegal. It is illegal because the bottom line is they're in complete breach of their work contract. They breached it in so many ways with the violation to our Bill of Rights. They're not a legitimate government. Nothing they do is legal. It can't be.
It's like a private club.
Well, yeah, it's a corporate. They're electing corporate board members. That's why they talk about even in elections, they talk about stakeholders. You know, people who own stock in the company. And I've got news for you people. If you're an American national and you're just out there a working stiff, you don't own stock in the company. You are assets of the company. You are an asset to be used, wrung out, completely abused in any way they want to make a buck. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're slaving your asses. They're stealing your resources. And see, they need you to go and get your resources and turn them into, well, just at least deliver them to the dock so they can get them over to the slave labor for manufacture, because they're sure as hell not going to pay an American to manufacture American raw materials. Now, are they? I mean, what people on the earth would have ever accepted this shit out in the open like this? I mean, it's been done. It's been done time and again, but never out in the open like this. Go ahead.
Even if you're a stockholder, you're still not the, they have a special stock that they never lose. You'll lose, but they never lose.
Oh, I'm not talking about somebody who's got a little portfolio for their retirement, you know, maybe have $2 million. $2 million ain't nothing no more. What I'm talking about here is the international corporate elite that run this country. You might have some money, Charlie, but I promise you, if they wanted it, they'd just take it from you, wouldn't they?
Well, mine's in silver, so.
Well, you know what? They got a pickup truck. They can back up to your house and load your silver and take it from you, can't they?
Well, I'm going to fight them, but, you know, it won't take much.
You're going to have to fight them, brother. That's the point. I mean, when they're doing this out in the open like this, people, they have nothing but contempt for you. They're saying,
really,
yeah, this is like going up. Go ahead.
The Federal Reserve is unfair that, you know, we're the only country that has it. And it's immoral anyway. We shouldn't have it. I mean, you know, those people are coming up here to get that easy money. And it's designed to fail. And they're just, you know, like you're saying, they're stealing everything with it. But you get rid of the Federal Reserve, I believe, then most of the problems go away because they can't finance all this welfare.
Well, you know, you get rid of the Federal Reserve. You get rid of these son of a bitches occupying our country, and nobody needs welfare. I mean,
yeah, I'm saying that the Federal Reserve is the cause of this
up
here.
Well, yeah.
And it's immoral. It's unfair that we have our own printing press and they don't.
Well, yeah, it's very unfair. But I mean, it's just a mechanism. At the root, you have to look at what's really going on here. Real wealth is real wealth. You can print numbers or you can type them into a computer. But, you know, silver, gold, copper, aluminum, steel, iron, you know, this is real tangible wealth. Trees, wood, you know, real tangible wealth. And that's what's coming out the other end. They're playing this number game with us like they played with the glass beads with the Indians coming across the first time. The Indians at the end, they're sitting there with a big pile of glass beads in their goddamn country gone going, what the hell happened? And now we're going to be left with a big pile of worthless frickin' paper and maybe a computer with some digits on it and everybody going, derp, 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 derp. Ain't that money owed to us? Well, yeah, it is. Anyways, guys, we're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
One mineral to watch and drink, and went up 600%.
Yep.
Though I'm feeling mighty sick, I've been lost now, days uncounted, and it's months since I've seen home. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Or am I all alone?
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Revolution.
listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 12:38 Pacific Time, and that was Nickelback with Edge of Revolution. And I think we're over the edge. I don't feel nothing under my feet. On with the outrage. San Francisco launches public defender office dedicated to illegal immigrants. Hey, people, what are we getting here? They're telling us this isn't our goddamn country. That they're bringing in, this is, what more evidence do you need of a recolonization of the land you live upon? They're dedicated to illegal immigrants. Let's just take that one part off. Let me put my thumb over here. Dedicated to illegal. Public defender office dedicated to illegal. Illegal. From Zero Head, sent in by Misty for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. To our complete shock, the liberal bastion of California's Northern Shores has just announced that it will create a brand new branch of the Public Defender's Office to specifically defend, I'm going to put my finger over it, illegal immigrants in deportation cases, adding insult to injury. Taxpayers will have to pony up in it. Well, you people working that they're coming to take your jobs, you got to pay to get their asses over and get them set up, don't you? How much are you going to take? Taxpayers will have to pony up an additional $200,000 each year to cover the cost of three public defenders and a paralegal, all of whom will be dedicated to making sure that federal laws are ignored. No, dedicated to aiding and abetting insurrection and goddamn invasion into your country. These people, you think Trump can't read this shit like we can? That your boy Trump, that you know, the knight on the white horse that was going to save you from this shit, he can't read this, and his zillion-dollar lawyers can't say, well, that's illegal as hell. It is. It's a definite violation of the law. It is using public office to aid an invasion. This is a state that has gone, you know, has been conquered. It has become a foothold for invasion. I mean, my God, there is no press. They were had up on the television screen just before I came up here. Oh, the issues, our main issues, people, yours and mine. The economy. You know, what they went down is the list of what the billionaires are looking at. You know, we've talked about it before. Have you felt anything good come out of this for you? Because we talked about the executives at Keystone and all their stockholders. Boy, man, they're jumping up and down. Something good happened for them in Canada. And you would look at this trip to Israel. You look at that shit dog piece of parasitic scum. Netanyahu on the stage, look at him up there, that smile, man, we own this son of a bitch. We own the United States. We're going to finish this job. I mean, as long as we keep, I mean, this is a candle. Somebody walking up and spitting in your face. Have the people of California, I mean, there's still got to be real people down there, American nationals. And even if there's not, this is our goddamn sovereign country we're talking about here. This is a state that is in rebellion against our law. This is the responsibility of what's supposed to be our government, but it ain't. This is showing you that this is just the occupation going on to the next step. Like I said, you know, they're playing these games. I've seen Trump's ban on these Muslim people from these six or eight Muslim countries, whatever it is, coming in was just, you know, struck down again in the fifth. Oh, God, he's trying. He's trying to say bullshit. He can send the fucking army right now to California and have all these son of a bitches arrested by law if we were operating under the true constitution, the original constitution of this country. There's no doubt about it. This is what you had a government supposed to be to stop. As an NBC affiliate in the Bay Area notes, the new office is expected to handle just 50 clients per year. of the 1,500 detained immigrants that currently have scheduled court dates, all of which just means that taxpayers should expect that $200,000 price tag to grow exponentially over the coming years. I don't even know what to say anymore.
Henry?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Bob from Wisconsin. I was listening to what you just said. I just got back from California a couple of weeks ago, and I got a friend out there in Huntington Beach. He's a white national guy, and he's just in pure agony.
Well, it ain't got nothing to do with being white or black or green or blue. It's about being an American national and this country belonging to you. And the very contract that you put in place with the people, this shows you this is not your government. This is an occupation. Our government that we charge would have to be, they'd have to have the military down there right now.
They really do. He's lived there for 30, 40 years, and it's just getting worse and worse all the time. He's afraid to leave. He says, why should I leave?
He shouldn't leave. This is invasion. I mean, how can you call it anything else? They have taken over the body politic in California. They're taking over the body politic right here in Oregon where I live. And I ain't going nowhere, but they are going somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, this.
Okay, that's all I want.
I appreciate it, Bob. And I live right on about 40 miles from the California border. And growing up, the logging here was, you might be down in California logging, and you might be up here in Oregon. And I mean, Northern California is just awesome as Oregon. And the people are the same as the people up here. And you're right. It's getting to the point of push and shove. I mean, the people have just said, when it comes down to like the guns, well, come on and do it. Just come on and do it.
Right. I heard that Antifa is going over to Harrison, Arkansas. I don't know if you heard about that, but I spent 6 years down in Arkansas, and I know the native Arkansans. They ain't going to fly.
The native people, period. They try to act like, they have brought a communist invasion force in here. They have brought the Pope's little brown army from Central, South, and America and Mexico. They've brought them in here. But the people that were here ain't gone nowhere. The real people who built this country, the people who have kicked the shit literally out of every people on the planet are still right here. And when this shit takes off, man, talk about, what happened in France with everybody having listen. I mean, it was a butcher shop there for a while, and that's the way it's going to be here. I don't see no way of stopping it. You got too many people bottled up and pissed.
I told a guy in California, I says, well, your kind of hands are kind of tied there in California as far as protecting yourself and doing anything about it. And we had a discussion about the Arkansas. I said, their hands aren't quite as tied as yours are. So if the Antifa goes out there, they're going to have quite a different.
Nobody's hands are really tied, my friend. I mean, they've got this total surveillance. They got this surveillance society going on, and they want everybody to think that they can watch every one of us all day long. They just do not have the personnel to do that. It's the people who would keep their mouth shut, man. I mean, my dad, always tell the truth and keep your goddamn mouth shut. I would like to have a dollar for every time I heard that growing up. But, some people have to step up to get the ball rolling to just stand up and say, hey, wake up, people. But a lot of people haven't. There's a lot of people out there like me that nobody knows about. And I'll tell you what, if I was one of them, shit would be happening.
Well, even if we do it in small ways, do what you can. Some people barely walk, but like Mark Warnke says, he says, you can stand up and hold a gun, can't you?
That's it.
You may not be able to run up that hill, but you can do something.
Well, he's told the story, and I've seen footage on the, I think it's the Sons of Liberty. One of them, the revolutionary about the old guy, he'd fought in the French and Indian Wars. Hell, he was like 70-some years old, 78 years old, I believe. And the British marched down, they just shot up Lexington Green, and they're marching on Concord. And this old fella, he puts on his goddamn sword that he'd captured from when he was fighting the French. And he came out, and he killed two or three of them. They shot him and stabbed him. He lived through the whole goddamn war and came out the other side.
Holy shit. Wow.
I can't think of the fellas.
Don't ever count yourself out, right?
Exactly. Laura might shoot the name, if she can find it, shoot the name of that fella up to me, and I'll so you guys can look it up. But that's a fact. That old dude, man, he went out there and he put it to, I think he just went out with his damn sword, if I'm remembering right, and he stabbed up on a few of them, and they stabbed him down, and shot him, I think, too. But I mean, he was like several wounds, and 78 years old, he survived the wounds, and he survived the goddamn war. So it shows to go, you know, the people are out here, and they're not going to put the spotlight on us. Like, they're not, like this program here, you know, the money that is spent making sure nobody hears this. I mean, if this site had that much money, I could retire.
Right. Well, you know, I got a few tricks. One of my sons called me up. Actually, I didn't follow my own rules. He called me up a couple of days. He said, there's a riding lawnmower sitting there with a free sign on it. And a couple of days when he called me today, it's still there. So I asked my other son, I said, let's get and take the hop in the truck. We're going down to get this lawnmower. Took my motorcycle trailer up to it. Turns out it's the same brand as mine.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Not exactly. If I ever need parts, if I can't, even if the motor's blown, I've made it. I was going to do some little bit of wit of wisdom, write you an email. Maybe you could pass it on a lot of things that we do. To be self-sufficient, sort of, even though we have jobs. We do stuff like that. I got two snowblowers in the last couple of weeks, too. People are dumb.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's the people who have enough money to buy new shit. I mean, there's a hell of a gap. I mean, between the people who, I mean, you either have a whole lot or you have nothing, man. That's what it, I mean, and that equation is becoming more definite every day. The cutoff line. I mean, it's like up in Seattle, you know, you can go in and you go into like a Walmart or, you know, and buy a brand shirt, you know, and you can go over to the, across town and there's other stores that sell that very same shirt. What you'd pay $10 for would be $30 for that shirt, but that's where the rich people shop, and they know that they could go over there and buy it at Walmart. They just don't want to be around that crowd. I mean, and yeah, they throw good shit away all the time.
Oh, I get their shirts at the thrift store.
There you go. Hey, man, St. Vincent de Paul's, man, I love to go there. And Goodwill. Hey, man, I tell you what, why should I go pay? When I was up in Monroe, up in Washington, when I was up there watching my grandchildren a few months ago, I went to the Goodwill up there. I mean, you get to go to a Goodwill in another town, that's even better. You know, you're looking for cool shit, you know, real cheap. And they had like these brown coats that the sheriffs wear, these heavy brown coats. I mean, it was brand freaking new. $20, dude. $20. That's my coat. I love it, man.
I've got all kinds of stuff. I probably got 30 jackets because I overdo it, but I go to them thrift stores, and it just makes sense.
Oh, hell yes. Why should you go pay? I mean, you can get stuff. Like you said, it's like new. I mean, I run it through the washer, you know, just for my own, for whatever. I didn't that jacket. I put that jacket on, man. That jacket was badass. I mean, everybody looks at you because it looks like a goddamn sheriff's coat, you know.
Right. Well, you're right. That's kind of cool.
It was.
You know, you try to pass this on to your kids, and some, you know, it's tough. Like a prophet, nobody listens to.
Oh, my kids, man, my kids, they got all the cool places nailed down. They're the ones that take me on the tour when I come to town. St. Vincent de Paul's, two Goodwills, three Goodwills, all over town. They know where everything is.
Well, here's
and they work.
What happened with me. Sometimes I know my kid's size 10 shoe. I got brand new pair of tennis shoes on, the kind he likes, with the tag on them. They'd never been worn at the thrift store for like $10.
Yeah.
And I bought them for him. And I didn't buy them for him so he could have tennis shoes. I bought them for him to teach him a lesson. And he never goes to the thrift store.
Oh, man.
I said, here, I got these brand new shoes that you like at the thrift store for $10.
Well, right now I got like a flannel shirt on. I think, you know, these flannel shirts would cost you, they cost you about 40 bucks. I mean, it's a heavy, real flannel shirt, $5 a piece. I got three of them. And why in the hell would you? I mean, it looks like you can't tell that it didn't come out of a brand new store.
I look at it this way. You buy a brand new shirt, you wear it once, it gets all wrinkly. It's the same. It's thrift store. So.
Exactly. There you go. Wear it one time. I think I hear Flea trying to.
Never like a brand new shirt unless you iron the stuff.
Yep.
Same thing at the thrift store. You can take that home, wash it, and hang it on a hanger.
Damn straight.
I want to join in.
I think I hear Flea trying to get in.
Here. No, this is Charlie.
Okay, let me. Anyway, okay. Go ahead, Charlie.
I wanted to the latest thing I've been finding is a bunch of these bedliners out of trucks. I got like six of them, but they're, I mean, it's really good material. You know that black plastic bedliner?
Those rhinos, yeah.
I just picked up one. I drove by and I said, man, I got to go back. And then, I make chicken coops out of it.
Well, hell yes.
You know, it makes a good garage for cars, you know, for the fun. But anyway, also, three of these big pieces of rope, half-inch diameter, about 10 feet long, real, real nice halter rope, I'm guessing. But anyway, I saw them, and I hurried back to go get them. And the county truck come along and picked them up in front of me. I'm running.
Oh.
I stopped, man. Hey, you got my rope off the side of the road. I got that
right
back.
Damn right.
They ain't going to beat us, boys.
I was on that rope, and I said, yeah, that's my rope.
They're not going to beat us, man.
I get paid to go by and pick up stuff.
The worst they can do, we'll thrive. We're Americans.
Well, that's what I'm saying. My kids are really ingenuitive like that. I mean, if they get laid off, one just got a new job. He just quit this one. But they get laid off, they buy a car, they fix it up, and they make $1,000, $2,000 a month. Believe it or not, youngest, he just made like $11,000 in a month and a half last summer. I was like, what? Which got my other son got pretty greedy. He wasn't as good at it.
That wasn't cash money, though.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, that's good.
but he's gonna set aside about 25% in Senatorical Sam, of course.
Oh, yeah, I would do that so fast, that. Not.
you just have to, because it's the right thing to do.
Oh, yeah, you betcha. Oh,
forget
man.
Losing a $1 billion worth of arms and losing them and
the mechanic I work with, his girlfriend, she's 20 years old. He's like 50-something. And man, she's so, skinny and good-looking and, man, strong. She throws them big batteries around and she goes dumpster diving. She found $500 in a damn, just people threw out a bunch of old letters and stuff. She goes through them and she found $500.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I happen to be thinking right now.
We'll defeat them with the scraps that they leave behind, and that's a fact. It is amazing, man. When I was young and I'd get out of work, I always had a pickup. I always had a chainsaw. I could always make money, or else working on cars or whatever in the hell you had to do. That's how we've been surviving for goddamn 30 years. That's how a lot of people I know have been surviving.
Well,
I can't drive 20 miles without filling my truck up with crap all the time.
Right. I mean, if it's there, I tell my sons, I said, next time insist that I go get it. Don't give me a chance to say, well, I'm a little tired. No.
I pick up dead animals, give to the hogs, and put in the fish traps.
No, that's probably not. I don't have hogs.
I mean, a fresh killed deer. It's supposed to be illegal, but I ain't gonna leave that.
No waste, man. I mean, that's one thing that me and Corky agree on 10,000%. I cannot stand to see shit wasted. And this country wastes.
That's supposed to be a felony.
That should be a sin,
they
at least.
Take the truck and all the and everything. Just for,
here's what you might want to do. Pick the deer up, rub some blood on your front bumper, and throw it in the back of the truck. Me and I hit that thing. He jumped up there, went right over the roof. Hey, landed right in the bed. I didn't know it.
Any port in a storm, I suppose. Wow.
You got to be careful, though. They lay them on the side of the road and watch for people to come.
Really?
That
sounds about right.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep. Unbelievable. Wow. Well, that conversation sure turned interesting.
Yeah, well, I think it's really important that Americans do that kind of stuff.
But oh, hell yes.
You can't do it. You can learn it, and when the shit hits the fan and nobody has a job, you will be doing it.
Well, that's what you want
to be prepared.
That's what I always say.
I got a hardware store. I redid all my plumbing. Had every part I needed except for one piece I had to go buy.
Well, good.
How about from the 80s, I'm an old piece.
I think I could waste $10 on gas to what's going around trying to find that.
It's the satisfaction, man. It's the satisfaction. Anyways, guys. Yeah, go ahead real quick, Misty. Let's let Misty in.
I'm afraid about this lawnmower, and I'll email you. I've got a few things to say.
Okay, let's let Misty jump in.
Alex, right. Henry, I was just listening to this, and I was thinking, yeah, you know, the Goodwill, goodness, I love them. When I go to Denver, I try to go to the ritzy parts of Denver.
Yep.
But it reminded me of when my son was little, and I was a single mother, never get child support, and we go in the grocery store, and my son would point out, like, he wanted the Captain Crunch. And I would always have to get the Crunch Captain, you know, the generic off-brand.
Yep.
And he grew up going, you know, Mom, why didn't you? I said, well, son, I didn't have any money. Well, then finally when he became an adult, you know, with the kids, it's kind of like, well, now he understands why I always got the Crunch Captain.
Say goodbye to Captain Crunch and meet Crunch Captain. That's it, man. Anyways.
Yeah.
Guys, we're at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, go ahead. What?
On the next show, I want to talk about how to defend your home. That guy, you know, got invaded and they shot him. You know, what things you can do, like smoke and mirrors and sandbag.
Okay. We can do that. We'll be here tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, get all your IDs, D's together and everybody show up. And that is The Word from the Trenches.